Amen. Good morning. God bless you. This morning I feel an unction to do something. For me, it's a privilege to be talking about what I'll have to talk about. I want to talk about Melchizedek. So for me, it's a privilege. I don't even know. Well, I'm sure there will be many of us who will be talking about it in the times to come. There are a few things that, you know, I've heard a lot speak to me about Melchizedek. Some of it, I don't think I still have the boldness to talk about. Sometimes you need a release from the church to be able to say something. Principally because you don't want to be in error. You know, I've been in error before, so I don't want to go that way anymore. You know. But this is a reality that is breaking upon us. So for me, it's a new day. It's a new day. Every day I wake up, I'm excited.
Yes.
Because it's a new day. And I see that everything has changed. You know. The whole thing, it's completely on a new dimension.
Amen.
Much more than we have ever mentioned. I think it was Rabot the other day who was saying, he talked, you know, in the days of the Cold War, you know, they would send spies to different countries, different localities. And I didn't know that was what they called them, but they asked them to sleep that day. What was the term?
Sleeper cell.
The sleeper cell, that they just come in and melt into the community. And they're waiting for an activation. You know, and then you know, someone who used to be a friend, and when he's activated, becomes a devil to you because his life is completely changed. You know, because he goes back to the original mode, what he was meant to be. But you may not know that you are a sleeper.
Yes. Amen. You
know, we are sleepers. You know, we have been sent into this world asleep. There's an activation that's coming. You know, we have been activated.
Yes.
And there's a reality that is dawning as to what God has in mind, you know, for you and for me. I'm kind of frozen. You know, when I remember, as it comes more and more to reality, what God is saying, you know, it's too good. You know, always sing that song, "This is my beloved." I think of a wedding, I have all kinds of feelings. And I know for many of us, we're in different stages. You know, we still think it's church, get married, have children, die, and all these kind of things. But the reason that brings home that feeling is the word pilgrim. You know, if you think of the word, a pilgrim.
Pilgrim.
It's the only thing that comes close to it. You know, someone who is just passing through. Who doesn't really belong to the place. But I trust that the Lord will help us. I want to read a scripture in 1 Samuel. Because I have so much to cover, I'm not going to go so much. I'm just going to say the scriptures, and I'm going to try to cover the ground that I have to do. But let me start from 1 Samuel 31, and then 1 Chronicles 10.
Chapter 31.
Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 31 and then Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 10. Verse 8. you're talking about the story of Saul, when Saul was killed. And it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa, and they cut off his head and strip off his armor and sent it into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. And they fastened his body to the wall of Bashan. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 8. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 8. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons falling in Mount Gilboa. And when they had stripped him, they took his head and his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to carry tidings unto their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the house of their God and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. So you have to read the two. Now, one talked about his body, and then the other one talked about his head. Okay, so now this is a complete picture. So his head was fastened in the temple of Dagon. Now look at verse 11. And when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistine had done to Saul, they rose, all the violent men, and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh Gilead, and buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his transgression, which he had transgressed, and so on and so on. Well, in the natural story, they could not recover the head of Saul. What they recovered was his body, which they went and buried. And when you look at these two stories, the reason why they did not recover the head of Saul was that his head was buried, was kept in a secret dungeon, was put in the house of Dagon. I will show you some other scriptures. In the pagan temples, they had inner rooms. Yeah. They had inner chambers where the secret and precious and the treasures were locked up. Yeah. They were not open. They were not available for everyone. Yeah. You know. So when those men came to recover, you know, they came for Saul. The only thing they could recover was his body. His head was not accessible to them. So the head of Saul still remained in the dungeons of... look at the two. Ashtaroth and Dagon. The Ashtaroth... why didn't they lock his head off in the field or somewhere? Why must he be in the gods, in the house of the gods? Now, go with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Okay, Daniel chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiada, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to his bedroom. And he brought the vessel. And he brought the vessel into his dining room. And he began to admire the vessels in his dining room. Hallelujah. You know, so it is that the vessels in the house of God was taken into the treasure houses. You know, see, the man had to make sure they were secure. So he took them to the most secure place. And where was it? In the treasure houses of Dagon. Amen. Now, when you go to Daniel chapter, it's not five, yes. Belshazzar, there's a man called Belshazzar. Do you know him? Okay, so can we read Belshazzar? I'm trying to save time, so I'm just jumping. I'm praying you can follow me. Yes, Belshazzar made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000.
Chapter 5, verse 2 now.
Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wife, and so on might drink in. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and the concubines and so on, they drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, wood and stone. So when it mattered, they went to take these vessels. And guess where they were bringing them from? From the treasure houses, to be used as vessels in the house of our God. Amen. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1 says, now, you know, for those who are coming, so we'll be talking about Melchizedek. Now, it says, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Please, I want you to, the next phrase, I want you to really read it very well. Because that's where the catch is. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this
man,
it is of necessity that who?
This man.
It is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. But for says, for if he were on earth. So where is this man? For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So So if you go to verse 1, he's saying there is a spiritual or a heavenly sanctuary. There is a heavenly temple. And there is a natural temple. And he's saying that this man, Jesus, is a high priest. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, let's go back a bit. I'm going to verse 5. Sorry, chapter 5 of Hebrews. I want you to make the deductions yourself, because the things that are coming are waiting. See, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason, therefore, he ought, as for the people and for himself, to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he that said unto him said, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, ask yourself the question, who is the priest? Who is the priest? Yes. So, when you think of a priest, who do you think of? Or what do you think of when you think of a priest? You know, there has been a concept, a feeling that we have had when we think of a priest. We're looking at a man who's wearing, you know, who dressed in a particular way. But I want to tell you, brethren, that there is a priesthood. There is only one priesthood. That priesthood has been, you know, Brother Bob this day touched on it in a different way. He talked about eternity. He talked about time. And he talked about eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Right from beginning of time, there has been a priest. And that priest is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right from time, there has been a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that priest is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when the time, when, of course, before time, in eternity, Christ has been there. Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. And he ever abided a priest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And Christ is different from Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I hope I'm very safe. I can get away with that. So the Spirit of Christ, has to have an expression in a people, and that was the beginning of time. Hallelujah. You know, so there is the doctrine of Christ. So there is the doctrine, and that doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of a priesthood. Amen. Can I ask you, which priesthood was Adam following? Which priesthood did Enoch follow? Which priesthood was in effect before the law came? Now the Bible says that the law was given as a schoolmaster while the head is yet a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the law is temporary.
Right.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So may I ask you, what priesthood are you following? What priesthood are we in the New Testament following? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why was it important for the Philistines to take the head of Saul and take it to the temple of their God? Why was it important to take his head? And then when they came to recover him, it was only his body they recovered. His head is still in the temple of Dagon. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are two parallels. One I'll say is the old, and one I'll say is the new. So the first one is the covenant. The covenant. There has to be a covenant. Two, the covenant must be executed. So there must be a priesthood. This covenant that's been executed must have a platform. There must be a place in which this covenant is brought forth. And that's the day. Now, this, all that is going on, there are things, activities that enact the covenant that speak of the priesthood, and that is the offerings. And all these things are meant to produce something. It's meant to bring forth something in the heart of God. God is looking for a son. God is looking for a son. I'm trying to make it simple because my life and your life depend on those four things. We'll find out sooner or later. Now, the crisis in the church today is that we are wondering. The people of God are wondering because there is no destination. You know, Brother yesterday was talking about the difference between a journey and wandering around. A journey has a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
And Brother Bob talked about the Alpha and the Omega. Now, where there is no end, you find that there's a, Brother Martin talked about it, there's no anchor. The anchor of the soul is beneath the veil, behind the veil. And that's what steadies you.
Yes.
You know, so in the church today, there is no apostolic direction. The people of God do not have a foundation. They do not know the beginning and the end. Do not have a true vision. And many of us are having children. Our children are wondering. There's a crisis of identity. We don't know where our fathers are going to. They have had tabernacle, they have had sharing, they have had all kinds of things. No beginning, no end. Amen. So, there was an old covenant that God made with the people. Now, the old covenant is not, it didn't just come out of itself. There was an original purpose in the heart of God. And you see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1:4. I'm still going to come back to the head of Saul because that's the center of the message. But we need to lay some foundation before we can understand where the head of Saul is. First, Ephesians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before time, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the calling and heritage of being children by Christ or in Christ." So right from the beginning, God desired a son, a group of people. And he desired that he will have that there will be Christ. Now Christ has to do with men. The manifestation of God, the coming forth of God in man, has his Christ. Now, God desired right from the beginning, even before Adam came in, that Christ will be a many membered body.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible says you will call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God in me. I think that makes it better. That God is going to be in me. I am going to be the temple of God. I'm going to be a walking, moving, talking, living temple.
Yeah.
Expression, house of God. That means that everything that I am is going to be swallowed up in God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
That is what Emmanuel means. You know, so he brought a man, he had to bring a man to live among us. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth." So the Word of God is not just letter. The Word of God is living. As we are speaking, the living Word of God is what must come to you.
Oh yes.
If that Word doesn't come to you, you have lost it. Because the letter kills. The letter will bring condemnation. But the Word of the living Word, you know, he told a man, Ezekiel, said, "Take the roll and eat it."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "And the Spirit entered into him and gave him life."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is that the temple has changed, but the people of God are not aware that the temple has changed. Because there is much more being expected of us. Because the time is becoming, it's getting short. You imagine you have a lot of time, but in God's purposes, it's becoming. So there is something is happening. And the reason is that the time for the coming forth of the fullness of Christ in man has come. Now, you know, so when you think of Christ, you have to think, you have to try to think of what's in God's mind, what is God saying. Like, you look at yourself, you know, your everyday activity, what you are doing, and you don't see, you cannot see through what, you know, and it's a problem because it limits you. But you see, when you begin to see through the eyes of the Spirit, to understand what God is saying, you begin to see that there is a new definition of man. Mm-hmm. And you begin to see that there is a new definition of you.
Hallelujah.
When you wake up in the morning, you will come into excitement. You will be excited that you are a man. Hallelujah. When you are sleeping, you are excited that you are a man.
Praise God.
You are excited at God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me give you one scripture. Colossians 1. Let's try to read the 13, 14, 15, 16, up to 19. He said that by him we are all things made that we are made. And that there was nothing made that was not made through him. And that they were made for him and to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are speaking of Christ. The purposes of Christ. At the beginning, at the very, very foundation, that God had a desire. The desire God had is that Christ will be expressed, will be multiplied in a group of men. Now, this is the part that scares me, because if you realize what that means. This morning, God was showing me a picture. Just imagine yourself, you're a farmer. You're trying to grow the best carrots or the best apples. And you spray, you know, you just plant the seeds. Now, all of them are seeds. They're planted. Then you go into the field. Now, what are you looking for? You're looking for the best. Is it not so? Now, each of those seeds that have been planted are going to express themselves. They're going to come forth. All of them are going to be apples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to pick the one that has come out the best.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The seed of Christ has been planted.
Amen.
In humanity.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, whether you can fully appreciate it or not, the reality is that man is the heaven and the earth. He says, in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. He's speaking of the soul.
Amen.
Now you are looking at all those things. Leave those things. He's speaking of the soul, because the soul is the heaven and the earth. In the realms of the soul, the heavens and the earth meet together. And that is the altar. Any sacrifice you bring, the heavens must approve it. So the heavens must meet, where the heavens and the earth meet, at the altar, that is the communion. And God has created you and created me as a living temple. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God desires to dwell on the earth, to manifest himself on the earth. So he's going to come into the spirit, he is going to fill all the soul, and he's going to also possess the body.
Amen.
That he might express himself on the earth.
Amen.
Now, so this is the implication. This is what we are involved in. That this is the journey that we're involved in. Now, if you as an individual, you do not meet the specification, that is, you only stop in one place. That is that Christ was only able to manifest in your spirit, but your soul was not touched, not to talk about the body.
Oh.
Then that is the lot you have.
Oh,
for where the tree falleth, there is
the life.
So man is his own creator. So that is bringing us closer to where I'm going to. That there is something in you that the devil wants.
Yeah.
There is a nature that you have that the devil wants. And that's why you went for the head of Saul. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're not active. What's going on? You don't like me. Not like me. I mean, one of your brothers. Don't you like me? I'm one of your brothers. You should respond. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm one of your brothers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, I'm saying that there is a new man.
Amen.
There is a new man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Melchizedek has two ways in which it manifests on the earth. Two ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is without mother and without father. So once upon a time, they found a man. They called him Melchizedek. And the Bible says he was a priest of the Most High God.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And he was dealing in bread and wine.
Yes.
So when Abraham met him, the only thing he could give him was what? Bread and wine. Hallelujah. Now, because he was the Lord, he could manifest anytime he wanted. Anytime. And all through history, all through time, he always came. You know, to Daniel and his people. And at whenever it was necessary, he manifested. But there was a time in which he also came through a woman.
Oh, yes.
And was born as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And then grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And we are called to come into that order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
That order of priesthood. But I'm saying that Christ is an experience that we have been called into. Emmanuel is an experience we have been called into. God with us. God wants to dwell in man. God must dwell in man.
Amen.
God must interact with man. Now, the devil does not want God. He says God has nothing to do. You know, they call it doctrine of man. Do it as you want. Do all those things. Man is his own architect. Forget it. God and man are forever linked.
Yes.
God is coming on the earth. And the channel through which God will come on the earth is through me.
Yes.
It's through you.
Amen.
And when God is coming on the earth, God is going to consume everything that is called me.
Amen.
Mortality. It's a big grammar. It's a big English. It's not, I don't like to use it because it makes it look so spiritual. Okay? That's mortal. That's death. Death. The reason why this body dies, because darkness cannot give life to you. This body cannot contain darkness. When the devils, by the way, dwell in the flesh, I hope you know. And when they come into the flesh, they break it down. That's why there's diseases. They are breaking up the DNA, destroying. So through the generations, there are all kinds of diseases. The devil cannot give life to the body. It will only destroy it.
That's right.
And so if you have a body, the devil works and works and works. And there is a set time, a limit beneath which that body can no longer exist. It dies.
That's right.
And the devil jumps and enters another body and begins to break it down. That is the way it works. you want the scripture? Yes. When the Romans entered Rome, well, entered Jerusalem, they went to the temple, stone by stone. They broke down the walls of the temple. Do you know why? Because there was gold in between, in and out. They melt all the gold. They had to break it stone by stone. And the devil is looking for life. So when he comes into a man, the Bible says that when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, is it not so?
Yeah.
He's looking for life. The only place where the devils have life is you and me.
Jesus.
As we're all here now, all of us have devils. Okay, so why did I say that? Okay, not you. I have devils. Not you, you are only brethren. As I am now, there are demons that I am in me, which I must drive out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Darkness, this brother here looking like, I have darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
But that is the journey we are going to. I'm not even actually entered it. I'm just trying to build up. There's darkness in me. The devils are dwelling in me. And I must drive them out. Anyway, when the devil, they are taking life and they are breaking it down. And the body. That's right. But you see, when Christ comes, the Spirit of God gives life to the body. Because the Bible says, if the Spirit of God is in you, that the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But that the body is what? Dead because of sin. Hallelujah. We'll come to that. But I'm trying to say, I'm still talking about Emmanuel, the principle of Emmanuel. And the principle of Christ. This is just foundation. The one lesson. That Emmanuel means God dwelling in man. Now, if you ever thought that God doesn't know you, or you are not going to, just forget it. You and God are linked together.
Amen.
Amen.
God made you so that He can dwell in you.
Right.
So your spirit, your soul, and your body are all dimensions of the spirit that are meant to contain God, contain spiritual beings.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The spirit was meant to relate to God.
The soul
it's a combination of the heavens and the earth. Because He breathed into the man, isn't it not so?
Oh, yeah.
So the breath of God was the vitality of God. That is, the life-giving nature of God came into...
Hallelujah!
And that vitality, Adam didn't need to farm or feed or eat carrots and all those things that he eats. The life of God was feeding and nourishing his body.
Hallelujah!
He didn't need to go, and because the life of God was there to nourish him every day. It was... It was being renewed, but it was feeding on God. Hallelujah. And whenever he liked, he could take one of those apples and eat as an addition. Amen. Now, so it is that we have fallen, but we are rising.
Yes, amen.
I want to tell you that man is rising.
Amen.
And that the people that are rising.
Amen.
And we have an invitation to be among these people that are rising. It's called Christ. It's called the doctrine of Christ, God in man. So behold the tabernacle of God. But you see, the thing is that this is no longer is. We're no longer pushing. We're talking about now. And that today, you can come into that estate where God begins to dwell in you. There's a deposit of this experience. That deposit is the deposit in the realm of the Spirit. What you call the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that deposit. That's the deposit. When the fullness of God comes into the Spirit. But you see, where the problem is, is that this fullness of God. Now, when we say fullness, brother, what we're talking about here today is all that God is. His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence. Everything, all the full attributes of God are in your spirit. There's perfection in you.
Amen.
And you can begin to walk into it. You know, but you see, this has to come into the realm of the soul.
Yes.
So the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that hope is a deposit. It's just giving you, for instance, when they got to the promised land, there was a deposit. Do you know what it is? The tribe of God. Huh? What was the other tribe? What was the other one?
Tribe.
Of Manasseh. Is it not so? They possessed their possessions on the east side of Jordan. Is it not so? As a 40. So even before they could, the whole tribe could, there were some people who were already enjoying the benefit of the new land. Hallelujah. So when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have come into a new dispensation. You are just enjoying, it's a foretaste.
Amen.
Of the purchased possession. But you see, the purchased possession must come to that reality. What is that reality? That the soul also might come into that liberty, to that estate of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
So God has called the people to sonship. We are called to be sons. No, it's not a question of running around saying I'm a son. It's the practical. Christ must come into the dimensions of my mind, of my emotions, of my desire, and of my will. That is, right now, there is a war.
Yeah.
And God has an expectation. And the Bible says that all creation waited on tiptoe for the manifestation of this. In other words, the body is crying out. The body wants to come into the state of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the body cannot be resurrected until the soul is resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are three levels of resurrection and three levels of death. Spirit, soul, and body died. Lost that vitality, that covering. Right now, we are uncovered. The man says that we wish that we might be covered with our house, which is from heaven. That house is Christ. Christ is a domain, it's a realm of life. It's a place where people dwell. And we are praying that we might be clothed upon by our house from heaven. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that there is a place. There is a place God is calling us to. And it is called the place of Christ. Hallelujah. But you see, we have just a taste of it. Now, of course, I can decide I'm all right with it. Those brethren, they say, please give us this side. The grass is good for us, for our cattle. But many years later, they were keeping swine. Yes, because when Jesus came, they were keeping swine. They were not supposed to keep swine. So he found swine. And of course, you know what happened. You know, so it's very easy for you and I to be off target in the things of God. And Brother George was talking about discernment. That if you do not have discernment, you will not know what is your inheritance and how to come into that inheritance and laying possession upon that inheritance. That our inheritance is not meat and drink. You can use God to make money. You use God for social network. You use God to feel all right and feel high. Anything you want, you can use God for.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Like somebody, like, you know, Robert was saying somewhere. He has a carpenter. He has hammer. You know what is hammer? Hammer is for nailing.
Yeah.
But hammer can also be knock the head of the child and kill the child. It's also the same instrument. So we have Christ, but you see, you can use Christ in a manner which is unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it just for belly. But you see, the Christ that has been given to us is for a purpose. It's to help us
to recover our lost estate.
Yes.
And our lost estate is the dimensions of your soul. Nobody can win your soul but you. They gave them the portion, say, go drive out the people and possess the land. So we must possess our souls. We must possess our own possession. There's no way I can possess your possession. I can only come into my estate and only call out to you, encourage you to also come into your own estate. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we are talking about Christ and Melchizedek. And we are talking about the apostolic direction. The direction which you and I ought to follow. Now, this direction is not a man. We are talking about the when you say apostle, it just means something that is foundational. Right from the beginning of time, any man who has been called and called of God must follow that path. And it is the pathway of sonship. God is looking for a son. And it is a many-membered son. So he takes the spirit of Christ and scatters it. And that spirit has to grow. That seed of Christ must grow. Now it's my responsibility and yours to ensure that I come to the full measure of it. What you call it, the hundredfold dimension of it. But I can say, well, God, I didn't even think I can get 30%. I'm all right with 30%. And you know there are some people that are there and God is happy with them. If you go today to, let me use the, in quote, an Orthodox church, an Anglican church, at this side, they are very happy. They are worshipping the Lord, blessing the Lord. But that is where they have chosen to be. And if that's their choice, God is going to give it to them. I respect it. And God is going to respect the choice you make and that which I make. Yesterday night we were dealing with it. So it's final choice. And brethren, it is a very dangerous place to be. Because what God is offering you is too big. And we're just trying to see if we can lay down some foundations to it. So we're talking about the covenant, the priesthood, the temple, and then the offerings that takes place in this temple. Now, my focus is actually talking about the new temple, the new covenant, and the new offerings. So those are the things that I want to talk about. Now, let's look at the covenant, the old covenant, and then the new covenant. If you turn your scriptures to Jeremiah 31:31, it's so easy you can forget it. Okay, so you know, in medicine there are so many things to learn, so we learn how to put them in codes. You know, so this is an easy one for you. Jeremiah 31:31. So it can be your national anthem. Amen. You can form an answer. Anywhere you go, Jeremiah 31:31. It's very easy. You can remember it. Because it summarizes it for you. Okay, what does it say? Remember, I still not told you about the head of Saul. It's still in front. That we are still walking up to it. I will tell you about the head of Saul.
Amen.
Because it happens to be my head. The story of Saul is my story. Do you know the man called Nebuchadnezzar? It's the same story. Okay. Yeah. Come to it. Okay, Jeremiah 31:31 first. No, because I'm going a bit deliberate. I know the older ones who want me to go so fast. But because we have children, we have to teach them the vision. We have to teach them the foundation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen now.
Amen.
You are still not happy with me. Okay. Please be happy with me, I'm your brother. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the old covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. That's number one. So that's number one, Egypt. Now, when you think of Egypt, because I get carried away. Now, when you think of Egypt, you have to define it. You have to situate it. Now, when you look at that, the old covenant, and you think of the tabernacle. Now, there was a tabernacle, and it had a fence. Okay, it was a white fence. So, assuming you were coming from far, and you are looking at this structure in the wilderness, what would be the first thing that would strike you? It's a white fence, is it not so? It's a white fence. Now, the white fence speaks of the kingdom of light. It tells you it's an enclosure. All around it is darkness. Now, that's how it is when you think of Egypt, that you're looking at the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There are two kingdoms. And another place you see that kind of picture is Genesis chapter 1. By the way, Genesis chapter 1 is the story of the tabernacle, is the story of the priesthood. It is the most solid, the deepest, highest, broadest part of the Bible is Genesis chapter 1. Everything is there. So in the beginning there was darkness everywhere, isn't it so? And God said, let there be light. So he separated the light from the darkness. So that is what he's speaking of. So you cannot, when you talk about the new covenant, you must take you must have in view Egypt. That Egypt is a kingdom of darkness. Now, there are some things that are unspoken that are implied. Now, what is it that is unspoken and implied? That there are 12 princes of darkness. There are princes of darkness. And there are gods of darkness. And those were the gods that God had to judge in Egypt. And of course, the people of God, guess where they went to? They went into Egypt, is it not so? But God brought them out of Egypt by a strong and a mighty hand. Now, Egypt speaks of the dimensions of hell. Hell is in this room. Okay, now I know you are going to have a problem with that. You may not. Okay, don't be annoyed with me. You only need to get a television here and put on one channel. You see Dr. Dre. No, my young people, they know Dr. Dre. And all the rascals, you see them on the television. In this room, the Dark Knight Rises. You see it there also. There's no wavelength that you cannot get in this room. But it's just that they are in different dimensions of energy. So the God, brethren, is speaking of a reality. And that reality is that he is taking the people out of Egypt. He's taking the people out of darkness. And he has to take darkness out of us.
Amen.
Now, this dimension of darkness is so deep, but let me just put it this way: the soul of man, because I'm a medical person, I will speak from that perspective. You see, the soul of man has three natures. Everybody in this room, you must fit into three natures. There's nothing you can do about it. There are three types of soul in the earth. There are three. Now, you can move from one dimension to the other, but you cannot do anything but be part of one. There are three dimensions of soul. And at the level in which you are, that is where you eat. That is where you draw energy from. Let me give you an example. When I come to England, I eat English food. To eat Nigerian food, I have to fight my way through custom. And it can only last for a few weeks. I will need to get new supplies. Because Nigerian food is not common here, isn't it so? When you dwell on the earth, you eat natural food.
Yes.
There's no way you can dwell on the earth and eat spiritual food.
Yes.
No way. You can only desire it, if at all you have that desire. You can only long for it, if at all you have it. You will be watching those who are there operating at that level, but because you are on the earth, you cannot partake of spiritual food. Because where you live is where you eat. You see, if we walk in the spirit, let's also live in the spirit. To live means to eat and draw life.
Amen.
And the soul eats through its senses. I'm still trying to get there. The soul eats, draws life by, and that's what brings us to the head of soul. The soul draws life through its senses. And the senses of the body are in the head. Let's count. What's the other one?
Taste.
How many have you counted? Four. Good. And even the touching, the nerves that govern it are in the head. And there's another one which you have not spoken of. Roma talked about it. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Amen. So that is the sixth dimension. Now the thing is that the head of Saul is still in the house of Dagon. Amen. But I'm jumping the message now. So let me leave the senses. Let me calm down. Now I was speaking about the new covenant. I'm talking about Egypt. Now Egypt is darkness. And it says your Lord was crucified where?
Sodom.
In the city called Egypt and Sodom. If you dwell in Egypt and Christians dwell in Egypt, the only thing you can have is what?
Death.
You cannot have life. Now, in Egypt, there is a place of life. You can call it a watering hole.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
The Nile.
The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Those are the three. That is the excitement in the world today, is what you can see. Is it not so? And the lust of the flesh. That's why the world is in excitement. Because there's a lot of flesh to eat.
Passions.
And the people of God have been caught up with the passion. I had to deal with something a few days ago. I don't know if I should tell you. You know, one of the pleasures I have is reading newspaper. I say, God, you know, you have to deal with me. Okay, let me not tell you about it. Let me go on. Okay. You know, so I'm sure you have your own situation, but brethren, the senses can either be in the natural or in the spiritual. You know, when God created Adam, his senses were receiving life from God. His emotion was excited at God. His mind was agitated by God. Now, it still comes to a point when, you know, Judas was with Christ,
and he didn't even know. He was not excited. I don't know if you understand. He was with Jesus. You know, Brother Potter was talking about it, and that it was done for him. I mean, and some of us, we are living in a time when God is giving us everything, but we count it common. I mean, that is just giving you an example. And you know, and you see, and if you are like that, let's bring it down practically. You make choices. You make choices that speak of your value. You make choices that, you know, because of certain pleasures. This is not fellowship, don't worry, I can listen to the tape. This is not so and so, I can do this and this. And see, you make a choice,
amen.
Right, and it's because of the value, and it's because the senses are dull.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is that there's a time given for you to bring forth Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And where the tree falleth, there it will lie. Okay, so the new covenant says you bring out of Egypt. There's so much to it. I can't get, but you need, the strength of Egypt is the Nile. There is a river that flows in Egypt. May I also tell you that in the kingdom of God, there's another river that flows.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that river comes from the throne. If you do not have the throne in your soul, the river cannot flow. Now, these are some secrets you must learn. Whoever has the throne has the river.
Amen.
You're wondering why there's no life. There cannot be life if you don't have the throne, because the river flows from the throne of God. So if you want life, first of all, have the throne. You know, we sing the song, that I have made my heart what? God's dwelling place. Let God, when God dwells, when the throne of God, when the will of God is resident in you, the river will flow. The life will go forth from you. You know? So the strength of Egypt is the Nile. That's from where the waters, the frost came from the Nile. You know, all the whoredoms, all the uncleanness is coming from the Nile. And they're entering into the bed, they're entering into the kneading trough, they're entering everywhere. Everything is being polluted. So you must ask yourself, where do I draw my life strength?
Jesus.
What is it that gives me energy? If it is the Nile, then that's trouble. See, so there is a river whereof make it glad. The city of God.
Amen.
It's holy place. There's a river where there nourishes, that brings life. And you must find, you must know the way. The children, the adults, every individual must know the way of tapping into that river. So when the crisis comes, you must have a way to refresh yourself. Someone says the perfect man falls 7 times, and 7 times will he arise. The problem is not the falling.
Rising.
The challenge is what? Are you able to arise? And the Bible says that the church has slumbered and slept. We are not rising. Are you among those who are rising?
Amen.
Rising means that your soul must leave the realms of the earth. It must come into the heavens. Because that's where the sons of God are congregating. Are being caught up into the... Now, being in the heavens, I was trying to explain it on Thursday, means the dominion over the soul must be by a spirit. Either by the spirit of God or by the spirit of devils.
Yes.
When it is not by the spirit of God, the Bible calls it being in the flesh. And that is what the time means. You see, those who are in the flesh are fleshly minded.
Yes.
What determines where your head is, is the type of spirit in you.
Yes.
Okay, maybe I should talk about it. See, the mind of man has 3 dimensions. There is the conscious nature. There is the unconscious dimension of the mind. And then there is the height of the unconscious, what the Bible calls the loins of the mind.
The loins of the mind are the depths of creation. That is where sons are bettered.
I don't know if you are with me. If you are a woman, you bring for children. Where do you bring the children from? From the loins. Is it not so? Mary received the seed. That was Christ. And she brought forth that seed. Is it not so? Now, the soul of man is also a womb. Is it not so?
Yes.
Good. And the Bible calls it the loins of the mind. That is where the devil is interested. And that is the head of Saul that he has taken. Hallelujah. You want to bring forth children, but the head is in the kingdom of darkness. And that has been the rate limiting step for the church, because the church has been able to recover the body. But the head, matters of the loins, matters of the mind, are now, are still, or for some time, up until the recent time, have been in the hold of the devil. But God is giving us the loins of the mind.
Hallelujah.
He said we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, the devil cannot create.
Yes, he doesn't have the power.
I don't know if you understand. The devil cannot create anything.
No.
Because he was created.
Amen.
You see, in the day thou was created.
Yes.
How can what was created create? Don't you understand? So the Bible says you are the light of the world. Turn it around. What are you? The Bible says that you are the light of the world. You know so? Turn that scripture around. What are you? You can also be the darkness of the world. The darkness in the world is from man. It's from you and from me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is a lifting up.
Yes. Hallelujah.
There's a song that is going on in my mind. It says, there is a lifting up. I want to tell you that there is a lifting up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, if you are going to recover your mind, you must have the ability to go to the dungeons. And the Bible says at midnight, that the sons, the slaves, the people who were in the dungeons in the house of Pharaoh, right from the those who were in the dungeons to the firstborn of Pharaoh, was set free. There is a jubilee.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know. I'm hearing the trumpet of Jubilee.
Amen.
It is time to return to the Father's house.
Yeah.
Now this returning means I'm coming complete with my head and my body.
Yeah.
Complete. Out of the dungeons of the enemy. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the mind has three natures. What you are conscious of, 7 hours ago, or let's say 10 hours ago, most of the people in Israel, apart from those who work, who do night work, like Brother Bot. I'm sure that you didn't know where you were. Where were you? But the Bible said, why men slept? Why do you think you wake up one morning, everybody is wearing the same dress? When we go to Uganda, we see them wearing the same dress. You go to Philippines, you see them wearing the same dress. You go to Kenya, everywhere you go in the world, they're dressing alike. Why? I tell you why. Why men slept? There's a spirit that is casting things in the unconsciousness, manipulating the unconsciousness of the world. Hallelujah. And the church has nothing to say about it, because we are under enslavement. Hallelujah. God told Joseph, this moment, take this child and run away.
How did God communicate that to Joseph? How did God communicate to Joseph? What is dream? What do you call a dream? Okay. What do you call a vision of the day? There is a rising. There is a lifting up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, we have been blind, but we are no longer blind.
Amen.
God is opening the eyes of the understanding.
Amen.
You see, it has ramifications. I come out here standing. There are people who have seen the spirits behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, because God is, we are becoming transparent.
Yes.
You see the motivations. That means that Jesus knew their thoughts.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother Matthew was talking about, I was preaching it, I didn't know he was already practicing it. That you go to your office. Before you go to your office, God tells you the man walk through your door. The dress, the color, everything. He sits down before you. You have already seen him.
Yes.
But Isaac, is that not your experience?
Yes.
That is, you go. You see, we are walking like mailmen. We are behaving naked. We are not walking with the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
We have suspended. Two tenths of your reality has been locked up.
Amen.
So you just go, you are using intellect.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a man of faith, you are a man of the heavens.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That you are in connection with God, and God tells you, by 12 o'clock, somebody is going to walk into your office. You will say this, answer him thus and thus. You don't know what happened to Elijah. Say that Ahab is sending somebody. When he comes, he will say so and so and so. Answer him thus and thus and thus.
Yes.
Is that not in your Bible?
Yes.
Okay, it was in the old time.
Yes.
I say it is now.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, there is a lifting up.
Yes.
There is a rising up.
Yes.
Oh, yes. This man deals with cloud computing. I'm laughing. Cloud computing? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know a man called Moses? How did he hear that my God said, let us make man in our image?
Hallelujah.
How did he hear it? If not that he went into cloud computing.
Oh, yeah.
He went into where the words were. In fact, they took him and began to play the video for him. He entered into eternity and he saw the video playing and he was writing. And the Lord said, let us make man in our image. He wrote 5 books. He wrote down. The heavens, look, his senses were suspended for as long as he was writing that book. He was hearing words, seeing things, and he was describing it. Okay? He said he was experiencing it. Brethren, you stop where you are. We are walking in the old covenant.
Oh, yeah.
There is a new covenant. That's what I want to tell you, brethren. So the head of Saul has been seized and locked up. But God is opening the door.
Amen.
Amen.
And it says that we have the mind.
Amen.
Of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. It's not Bible study. I study the Bible and I preach. No way. It is somebody preaching through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see, so the dimensions of ministry are changing. The dimensions of leadership are changing. Even you, the dimension of your life is changing. That God comes to you and is walking with you in your office. And he's telling you what to do and what not to do. Brethren, we're not talking about something in the future. This is where we should be.
Reality.
But you see, we cannot walk in this reality when our senses are still locked up in it.
Yeah, amen.
Glory to God. We are being entertained by whoredoms. The things you see are the things that entertain you. The things you hear are the things that entertain you. Meanwhile, there is, but it says, I'll bring you to a land of milk and honey. Have you ever thought of it? How can God tell you milk and honey if not that there is some an excitement in the realms of the heaven that will blow? You say, eye has not seen or ear, and what is there? But God has revealed them to you by His Spirit. So, brother, we're saying that there is a new priesthood. It's not that's why when you say we don't have pastor, it's not just that. How can you have a pastor when every man is a priest?
Hallelujah.
When every man is in connection with God,
amen.
There is a flowing up and flowing down, upon angels rising and descending upon every man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brethren, there's a new dimension that's coming to us. The priesthood of Melchizedek. God in man. That's God in your emotions, in my desire, in my will, in my every part of me. God is there. He's taking over my whole emotions, and the body will follow. You see that all creation is groaning.
Oh yeah.
Wherever the soul goes, the body will go with it.
That's right.
The body is about to change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell people, you know, there are some brethren that they eat garlic and they smell garlic. They eat ginger so much that they smell like ginger. And they eat carrot. I said, that's okay, it's good to eat healthy food. But brethren, let's do the first thing first.
Yes.
Let's turn to God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to turn to God means your whole faculties.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, the Greek word is egeiro, E-G. That is to collect your faculties.
Yes.
That's what resurrection means. That means to pick up the soul that has fallen down and bring it up. Says, as far as the heavens are, that's how my mind is different from God. Isn't that so? But God has sent His word to bring my mind, to restore my mind. Amen. So we say there is an old covenant and a new covenant. But I stop short. Let's finish. Okay, just 11:15.
Oh, go.
He gave himself an hour. He's redeeming time.
I'm going to change my diet. Okay, I don't need to change. I did change my own. Okay. Anyway, I'm trying to zero on something. I want to show. Now, the new covenant. It's about the redemption. Please watch it. The new covenant is about the redemption of the loins of the mind.
Mm, yes.
Therefore, this mind that was in the Constitution.
The old covenant was written on tables of stone. But the new covenant, the Bible, it says that every time they came to the tabernacle, their conscience was not saved. They had a conscience of sins. So on the Day of Atonement, the consciousness will just be ministered to. But they still had a problem with conscience. But he says, I will make a new covenant. So I will put my law where? In the inward parts.
Right.
In your mind. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now I don't have time to read the scripture, so you can read it. Hebrews 1 to 10. But let's come to something much more contemporary. One young man came to Jesus. He said, tell me, which is the greatest commandment? A young man was zealous. Say, tell me, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, Jesus said, hear, O Israel. Is it not so? The Lord your God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. With what?
All your heart.
With all your mind. Is it not so? With all your soul. Is it not so? He said, that is the first
and the greatest
commandment.
Amen.
The new covenant is about the mind.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. And God says, I'm going to recover the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose the war and win the war in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, as we are sitting here, we are tormented in our minds. If you don't dress in a particular way, you are not a man. If you don't dress in a particular way, you are not a successful woman. If you don't dress in a particular way, you will not be accepted in your office. If you don't do so and so and so, the brethren will not accept me. If I don't go to fellowship today, the brethren will say I have backslid. So let me go and show them all that I'm still a brother. The mind. Bible says, fleshly lust that war. If you win the battle of the mind, you are an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
The mind is everything. And that is the new covenant. But it so happens that we are walking in the old, in the time of the new. Has it happened before? Many times.
Yes.
Scripture. A man called Isaiah, is it not so? He was Isaiah. The man was a New Testament prophet.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived in the time of the old. And that man called David, is it not so?
Yes.
There was the tabernacle of Moses. The man came and brought a new tabernacle. So he was in the old, but he saw into the future, and he was already walking in the future. So also, those in the future are walking in the old. Many Christians I know are walking by Old Testament philosophy, including myself. You're not very far, including myself.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I ask you, your fellowship, where does it fall in? Don't be annoyed with me, I'm just your brother. Your fellowship, where does it fall in? Is it old covenant or new covenant? You just answer for me. What you call church, my church, where is it? Is it old or new? Hallelujah. So let us go to bank and take loan and start a church. In Nigeria, they go and say, go to the bank, I fly and get the money to start a church. So this one is not in my church. This one is in my church. What is that? Hallelujah. Well, Bible says the times of ignorance. Brother, we are coming to maturity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what did you say? Did you say you stay in your house? No, you cannot stay in your house. You must look for brethren and have fellowship with the brethren. But you do not gather onto a group, you gather onto Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So our fellowship is in the spirit. You know? Our fellowship is in the spirit. We must, you know, we say they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. So there is a new covenant. I haven't even gone far. And then, because I must end, there is a new priesthood. There's a new priesthood. And Jesus was limited to only one section of the tabernacle.
Yes.
Of the temple of Solomon.
That's right.
He dared not.
That's right.
Enter into the holy place.
That's right.
Amen. His parents brought him to that door. The door of the tabernacle of congregation is in the outer court.
That's right.
Just before you enter at the liver. That's where he brought him. That's where Israel meet. It is those who are sons of Aaron that can enter into the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was only one man, Aaron, who could go from the holy place into. And Hebrew says that in that arrangement, that there was a fault. Because in Exodus 23, it said that I will make them a nation of priests. Yes. He said, I will make them a holy nation. I will make them a kingdom of priests. Therefore, that arrangement was defective from beginning. And in so doing, God, anybody who is a spiritual person knows that God was going to bring a new arrangement. So this one was temporary. So there is no way God can perpetuate a single man ministry. You don't even discuss it.
That's right.
So if a brother tells me, let's go, I would talk to him because I know he's not hearing God. God doesn't speak in like, he used to speak, for, he spoke like that just for a short period of time and he closed. Right now he's speaking of a company of priests. So every one of us, we are supposed to be a priest unto the Lord. Now, question, if you are the priest of the New Testament, then identify the priest. Because in the Old Testament, you know who the priests are. They were the sons of Aaron, is it not so? If you are the priest, which part of you is the priest? Which part of you is the priest? Is it my body? You know, and you see, we are the devil has manipulated the word of God, the ministry, and even the ministry of the word, that the truth has not gone forth. So the people of God have not been equipped to properly come into their estate in God. Because if you look at it closely, you will know that when you talk about priesthood, there is specific what God is speaking of. You know? Now, there was a young man, his name was Isaiah. He said, I also saw the Lord. High and lifted up. And I saw the seraphims. I saw the seraphims. Six wings. And they were saying, holy, holy is the Lord. And then the one says, oh God, I have unclean lips. Heal my lips. Our time has run out, so we can't go too far into that. Then maybe we'll have the time to talk about it. But brethren, there is a priesthood. That priesthood is the priesthood of the soul. The priest is their mind. The mind has forever been a priest. I cannot change being functioning. You see, it means to bring an offering. It's to bring life to a spirit being. Amen. To submit to a spirit being. That's worship.
Amen.
And that's what the mind does. The mind has ideas. It's a betting place of ideas, of visions, of images.
Yes.
And the computer you're using is functioned after the mind. It's witchcraft.
Right.
It's sorcery. It's manipulation. And it's only playing on that which you already have. And the people of God must begin to rise, to know that your mind, the way your mind functions, is the place of offering, is the place of giving life and receiving life.
Amen.
That you can give, we can give life to one another. Let me give you a testimony. There are certain people that I have had disagreement with in the past. But I was shocked. I said, Lord, I want you to restore fellowship with this brother. And I want you to do it in such a way that it has nothing happened. Do you know it happened? I did it the first time, it happened. And in all the cases where I have done it, it has happened.
Praise God.
That is people that I didn't have understanding with. I went to God. It was difficult for me, but I said, God, I want you to restore fellowship. In all the cases, before I even turn, it's done. It taught me a lesson that I have the ability to bring life. Brethren, we can give life to one another. You can give life to creation. You can give life to yourself. And God is calling us to a higher walk. There's a higher walk, brethren. And you know, so when you talk about this new priesthood, it is the priesthood of the soul. The things that I do with my mind, with my emotions, with my desire, with my will, you know, they speak so much. There is so much that is to it. And that is the offering. That is the way. A priest must have a gift to offer.
Yes.
And God told me, the activities of my soul is worship.
Amen.
The activities of my soul. That is the way my mind works. And Brother Martin, well, I'm sure he will tell us later. He says there's now a new machine that they can use to project all my thoughts on the board.
Oh, yeah.
He has designed that machine, so he will tell us about it. So he says, supposing. Okay, not you. My thoughts. My thoughts for yesterday will be put on the board. There will not be fellowship today. There will not be fellowship. But brethren, it is going deep. It's coming closer. But you see, these are areas that we have locked to say, no, God is not interested in my thoughts. God is not interested in how I feel. God is not interested in my desires. You know, in Revelation 18, when he says, that all nations have drunk of the wine of Babel. That translation, the Englishmen who translated it, they were afraid. Because when they read the Hebrew, the Greek word, they did not believe it. They said, no, this cannot be true. Because what it means is that the whole nations are fed with passions. That's what that place means. And you check your life. What drives you, okay, not you, what drives me is passion. Passion. Man was not meant to function by emotion. God made you to function by mind. But you see, what the devil has done is that now they will have what they call emotional intelligence. That means the world is being changed to an emotional driven world. That is, something is successful when it has energy, isn't that so?
Yeah.
Those of you watch, what's this one they do in Britain here in London? That's one they sing, now you know it.
X Factor.
The song in X Factor that wins is a song that has emotion. Belema, isn't that true? If the song doesn't have emotion, it's low negative energy. Is it not right? It doesn't touch you. It doesn't give you energy. The world fills by energy. And that energy is what? Emotion.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that the emotion is the lowest nature of the soul?
Oh, yes.
The highest nature of the soul is the mind.
Yes.
That is the ego. But the devil has locked it up. Because he doesn't want you communicating with God. Because when your mind rises, it's going to rise into God. So he cuts it off. Rather, he makes you an emotional person. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. If you do this, I'm going to do you back. And Brother Bot has said it. I come from a nation that are emotional. Okay, not a nation, not my nation. No. Where I grew up, we have energy. You know, when I went to Hungary in 1994, I had culture shock. Because here I was out of the airport, I looked around, no human being on the street. Everywhere was quiet. No sound. Quiet. We drove for 200 miles, not one individual on the street, on the road, walking around. I said, Brother Hubert, is there a problem? I came here in 1996 to do my, I got into the bus, everybody was quiet. I looked around. I said, what is the problem with this? Don't they talk? Because we are passionate.
Oh yeah.
Flash anger. The women are very strong. The men are stronger to put down the women. That's the priesthood. That is the priesthood. Oh, yes. And God is telling us, brethren, come out from your nation. Say, come out from your tribe. And come out from those are the three levels of darkness. If you want to be a priest, you must address these issues. And I'm looking at myself, brethren, I see that, you know, that for me the whole game has changed. Because now I'm looking inward, I'm looking at myself. I'm seeing a mirror, and I'm seeing a beast. That is, you know, let me go back, I'll end with it. I don't have more time, I'm just going around and around. But let me talk about the three natures of the soul, and then we will bring it and then we'll close. Now, the Bible says that the first Adam was a living soul. The second or the last Adam, there's no other Adam coming.
Right.
So the last Adam is what? It's a life-giving. Some translation says quickening spirit.
Yes.
Now the Greek is 4151. Okay, it's described as a soul that is spirit dependent. Okay, that is one end of the spectrum. Now, let's start from the other end of the spectrum. That is the soul that doesn't have God at all. That is the carnal soul. That is the soul, an individual born into the world. His spirit is not in fellowship with God. His spirit is as though he's not existent. He has no connection with God. The only thing he knows is what? Carnal and sensual. To him, God is dead. But you know that is the dominant soul in the world today.
Amen.
And they're telling you passions. You know, they're telling you, you know. So they are speaking of that. That is the beast from the earth of Revelation 13. And the Bible said that God, that the devil gave him seat and authority or whatever. But it's a nature. Now, that nature, if you bring it down, you're looking at the senses. The five senses of the hearing and so on and so on. Now, the man feeds by his... In fact, they say it is sensuous. He's a sensual man. He's ruled by his senses. And there is nothing, no reference to God. That is, I have money in the bank. I have a problem. I write the check. And the problem is solved. I have a problem. I don't have money in the bank. God does not love me. I have a problem. I can buy, I have £10, I can go and buy food. God is a good God.
Amen.
That is sensual.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Things are not working fine, then God is not good to me. After all, the other brother, I pray more than him. Yeah, if I look at him, he doesn't even pray at all. But things are going well for him. So God is fascia.
No.
So there is no reference to God. That is one type of soul. And the Bible said that soul is going to hell. You see, even if we bring him to God, he cannot appreciate God. Because he cannot communicate with God. It's like God took Adam and said, oh yeah, look at lion. Lion is your wife. Say, me, marry lion. No. Who can communicate? If you cannot communicate with God, you cannot dwell with God. Even if they bring you to the throne of God, you will carry out a coup. So they will not even bring you there. So the only way I can be useful to God is that my nature must be changed.
Yes. Amen.
My senses must be awakened. And the senses that need to be awakened are the ones that have to do with mind, the knowledge, perception.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my brother was talking about. The what? The mind of man is like an antenna to reach out and receive life from the realm of the heavens. That's what the mind is for. Now, the mind of man has three dimensions, like I mentioned. You have the natural mind, the natural man even has what they call brain. The brain is controlled by certain chemicals that are related to the emotion. They call it the mood. Is it not so? Now, even there's a higher dimension of that where there's a connection between the soul and the spirit. That is the realm of the unconscious. And even in that dimension, there is a relationship with God. So you see, there is so much that is going on within you. And the church needs to wake up.
Yes.
And Bible said that we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he said, look, these living creatures, that their eyes were opened. What is he talking of? He's talking about you being awake to God. God is there, but we cannot touch him because our knowledge is falling. But the Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. So if the man is going to come to God, there's a first place to begin. It's the fear of God. It's the reverence of God.
Amen.
It's the love of God. The respect of God. Now, how can you respect God when you can't respect your brother?
Yeah.
That's where the discernment comes. So if you are going to, you want to jump to the story building, but you are not walking on the ground floor first. God has set certain boundaries. If you don't respect that, you cannot respect the other one. So if you want to be alive to God, begin to discern the authority that God has set. Walk by the precepts that he has set. God says, this is the way I want you to sit. He said, no. If I stand up, it will be better for you, God. Don't you understand? I know you say I should sit down, but you see, look, if I stand up, you will be very, very, very much benefited. You don't fear God. I don't fear God. And there's no way I can come into knowledge. There's no way I can come into wisdom. You see, wisdom is the jewel of the bride. He said the Lord possessed me from beginning. Don't you understand? Wisdom is what they put on the neck. Next piece of submission. When you are submitted, then the bride will have wisdom. Wisdom is what says you are a bride. And wisdom is from the Lord, isn't it so? And he cannot give you wisdom when you are rebellious, when you are not submitted. So if we are going to walk with the Lord, if we are going to come into that special relationship with the Lord, then we must come to the first law, the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
So when you go to Isaiah 11, he said there are seven spirits. What's the first one? Say the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. You see, that's the ministry that comes. And you see, you don't learn fear. It is a grace. You know, God works it in you. And, you know, as you're working with him, he puts a reverence in you. He puts a respect. You respect God's ways. You will know automatically what God is saying. You come into a place, you will know the order.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you understand?
Yes.
You come into a place, you see the order. You see the order of God.
Amen.
You know, you see the things that God has said. But the man that comes, he has no respect. He throws himself around, does anything he wants. He goes into your house, start changing your sitting room. He's a visitor to your house, but he's telling you, look, this chair is not good there. You should be there the right way. God has his own way. He has his own way. He has arranged his house. And he said, this is the way I want my house. And the bride will be that which will respect the choice of. In fact, you know, somebody saying the difference between Esther and the other maidens, you know the difference?
Mm.
She had one purpose, it was to please the king. So she went to the man that knew the king. You see, what does the king like? Dress me in such a manner. You know what I say? No. I have been dreaming after this jewel. And they say, take anyone you like. So look, this is my time. I cannot miss it again. I grab what they want. But the other one did not want anything for herself. She was only concerned about the king. And she was the one that the king delighted in. We are like women who are brought in to please the king. The question is, what are we looking for? God is saying, brethren, there is a new temple. And that temple are the four dimensions of your soul. It is important how you feel about me. Because the way you feel about me is worship. The way you feel about me gives God pleasure. The way I feel about my wife is important. It is important that I do not harbor any wrong feeling towards this brother. Not only that it is injurious to me health-wise, but it will displease our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 He's my brother. If we have disagreement, two of us have the same father, isn't it so? I go to his father and say, this is what this brother has done to me. And I will leave his father to take care of him. I don't need to fight with him. Amen.
Amen.
So we are learning new laws. I call it dining table laws. When you come to the dining table, you do not speak evil of the people you eat with on the same dining table. It's bad dining table manners. Amen.
Amen.
You do not speak evil of the people you eat with. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So it's important, the things that go on within me. And do you know that the devil wants to bring up those bad things?
Yeah.
Feel evil. You feel offended.
Jesus.
What is offense? Offense means that your priesthood has been suspended. They are taking away your certificate. You can't function as a priest when you're offended.
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
Yeah.
You cannot. Because your emotions are all muddled up. So God says, okay, please submit your certificate. You are grounded. So we have been, some of us are grounded. We are having church, but we are grounded. We cannot communicate with God. No life is flowing because the emotions have been cut off. You know, so you're looking at your emotions, you're looking at your desires, you're looking at your way, your mind. Those are the things that are crucial now. But the devil says, no, it's the other way around. And for long, we have been looking outside without looking inward.
Amen.
That is a new priesthood that God is raising. I'm going to stop at this point because we do not have time to go on. Because it is important to try to put in such a way that everyone, yes?
Just do we have time to tell us about Saul's head in the house of Dagon?
I've touched on it, but I need certain things dealt with before I can go to it. So maybe we will take a break, and then we will have another session where we can but to summarize it. Okay, let me summarize it. Brother Potter said, it's a summary. He's speaking of the mind. Okay, he's speaking of the mind. And he's speaking of the relationship between the Spirit of God and the mind, the workings of the mind and the Spirit of God. And then the way in which the provision God has made to recover the mind, to restore the mind back at the temple of God. Because the mind of man is creative, and the devil needs the mind in order to perpetrate darkness and work in the world. So he has dominion over the mind. And to the extent that he has dominion over the mind, it is to that extent that he's still prince of darkness. Alright, so one of the things that's happening is that God is trying to there has to be an awareness in the church of what is at stake, and then we need to change our operation. Now when we change our operation and we begin to recover our minds, then we'll be able to cast down the devil. So this is the last stronghold of the devil, and this is the reason for which Adam was removed from the garden, because it was bordering on that issue of the lust of the mind, the tree of life, and so on and so on and so on. So it's just something that we have touched. and I know the Lord will open it up at the appropriate time. What I was trying to do was to try to lay down the foundation to show that when God talks about priesthood, he's speaking of the mind. He's speaking of the will. He's speaking of the emotion. That is the priest. And that the what we have known as the priest was just something that was brought in for a short period of time. And God has finished with it. So right now, God is restoring the original priesthood, which is the priesthood of man, which is the priesthood of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek speaks of a company of people who minister with the Spirit of Christ, in whom the Spirit of Christ is, you know, working, has possessed them, and they are working and functioning and doing things. Because many of us will think that it is something that's way beyond us. And I was hoping that we could relate the tabernacle to the mind and to the soul. You can see, you will see the relationship, you know. So it's important that we know what the tabernacle is, and from that point we can relate it to the functioning of our soul. So the tabernacle is like a guide for us to function as a real priesthood. And I'm aware that there's going to be ministry later today on the tabernacle, and then we will try to see how we can relate to it. The scriptures are there for us to go and study and to see God concerning. It's something that God is speaking concerning everybody. And I know that as you go to the Lord, you will begin to open it up. But I think we have to stop now.
You need to have a session where you have question and answer.
Okay.
One of the points that really needs to be emphasized concerning the head thing.
Yeah, you're not speaking now, though.
Huh?
Speak to everybody.
I'm sure you want to come with me.
One of the things that really need to be emphasized about the head thing, as far as Saul is concerned, is where it was put.
Yeah.
It wasn't just put.
No, don't hear me, sir.
You can't hear me? You can't hear me?
Oh my God.
Wow. One of the major things that needs to be looked at concerning the head of Saul and where it was placed is very significant. One place I think it says in the temple of Dagon, and another place in the temple of Astara.
Yeah.
And those temples were dedicated to for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, and they dealt well sexuality and sensuality. And that is where we as human beings seem to be the most vulnerable. We seem to be more accessible through that administration of darkness. And it's something that is in the soul of man from the day that he fell. Because when man fell, his mind became darkness. And he became the darkness. And so it is very significant. There's a scripture, it says, I think Jokes might have used it earlier on, not today, but somewhere along the line here, he said, or somebody did, when it talks about the thoughts that if you think are tempted in a certain position, or and a man dwells upon that that lust, what does it say? Is
the brief
lust
was
conceived.
Lust is conceived.
It bringeth forth sin.
So in all of that, that is kind of like the atom bomb. Or the laser that the devil has concerning, the laser weapon that the devil has concerning us as human beings. It's the sensuality, the sexuality, everything moves to that in that direction. Everything. You start out with something small, and you end up in sexual immorality or sexual sin. It doesn't make any difference what it is that is so far removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it always generates and goes back into it.
Yes.
And all of those ritualistic things that were done for the different gods, the Talmuds and Dagon and all of those things, and one of the things that Solomon had a problem with,
right,
was his relationship with these particular gods and these particular temples. So it is very significant that the mind seems to be rooted and into this type of sensuality, and you know, it isn't so much. It's not a sin to be tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. You can be tempted and tempted and tempted. What is a sin is if you begin to meditate on it, if you begin to dwell on it, if you begin to think about it, and you begin to nurture it, and you begin to imagine, and it leads you into the actual aspect of the thing, so that is bombarding your mind. And quite frankly, until we overcome the devil totally, absolutely, the devil will be continually hitting us in these aspects of our mind. If you go out here in society, the whole aspect of society, movies, music, billboards, advertisements, food, all of these things, colognes that you wear, everything is geared and pointed, clothes that you wear, everything is pointed to accentuate and to facilitate and to motivate you into a certain arena, into a certain area of thinking to make you vulnerable. And some of these things, the continual resistance that you have, you know, sometimes we get condemned because we are tempted in a particular way or in a particular land, and we become condemned. But it is not so much the temptation as what it is that you do with it and how you handle it. There was a messenger that was sent to buffet Paul, and a messenger carries a message. And I don't know. There's been so many different things that people say about it. But what I believe is in that aspect, there was something that was coming continually. So much so that Paul said, "I have sought the Lord three times to deliver me from this harassment." It was harassment, whatever it was harassment. But Paul, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That means that God wasn't going to just take it away. Paul had to maintain. Paul had to stand. Paul had to resist. Paul had to fight against it and to maintain his decorum in the aspect of whatever it was that was bombarding his mind.
But it was spiritual, right, and not natural.
That's it. Well, whatever. Whatever it is. There is nothing spiritual that the devil does that he does not want to manifest it on a natural plane. He has to get you to bodily participate with him in order to have control over your being. Over your heart, over your soul, you have to bodily participate.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah! Because he can't come from you. He can't come at you from any other direction. He has been limited by God. He cannot come through the Spirit. He has to come through the five senses. He has to come. He has been limited by God. He cannot minister to you in any other fashion. So he has the right to to maneuver you, to manipulate you, to push you, to harass you, to bring you to that place. But you have to be in a position, in a relationship with God to be able to fight it. Hallelujah. And that is the grace that God gives. Peter said it this way. He says, think on all those things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report. Devil comes to you and tells you something by the way that you look at something, that you're this and this and this. The devil is a liar. I am not created by God to be in that position of degradation, or I'm not in that position to be subjected to those types of thinking. And no matter how many times it comes, no matter how much it presses me, no matter how much it pokes me, I have to maintain my internal integrity with God. I have to maintain my position of eternal of the eternal thought that God has toward me. Because God says, my thoughts to you are not evil, but they are good. So I cannot blame God for my condition. I cannot blame God because he does not do something. I have to maintain my integrity in the midst of it. Or my head will wind up in the temple of Dagon with souls. Hallelujah. And I am committed to not let that happen.
Yes. Amen.
And I have to fight with my mind. I have to fight it with my mind. Continually, totally, absolutely. Every time, anything and everything the devil is doing, it is coming against us sensually, sexually, and wanting to motivate us in a certain position in a certain way. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.